Good morning, everyone. It's April 28th, nearing the end of the month. Monday morning, cold and crisp outside, but it is a beautiful morning. I hope that you are finding that today is going to be a great day. I hope that you are already waking up this morning and feeling great about the day and about God. You know, this was such an interesting weekend. It really was for me. I really enjoyed every aspect of it. Got to spend some time with my mom and my family on Saturday, and then Sunday was wonderful. Had a dear brother in the Lord, Dr. Charlie Goodman from Clear Creek Baptist Bible College, come and share the word with us. Did a wonderful job, but more than that, he really helped us worship and understand God and the church. Today, I want to leave you with something kind of quick and easy going here. Nothing too long, because I know that you've got a long day ahead of you. It is Monday, and Monday seems like it's one of the longest days, doesn't it? But I think Tuesday seems even longer than Monday sometimes. You know, godly confrontation is something that we don't do very often in the church, and something that we don't do very well when we do it. We either go one way or we go the other. There's not a really a healthy balance. Sometimes we're either too aggressive, or sometimes we're either too passive. In times where the situation calls for a brother or sister in the Lord, maybe to be challenged or to be approached on something that they're doing that they know they shouldn't do, but yet they do it anyway. That seems like all of us, doesn't it? I know that's probably what you're thinking, and you're correct. That's kind of all of us. You know, I guess we would call that the sin of omission, not doing what we should do. And then the sin of commission, doing what we shouldn't do. But I want to draw your attention to Galatians 2. This is one of those passages to me that really speaks of Paul's passion to see that people that proclaim and represent the Lord are living out the Lord and not being hypocrites. You know, and what is a hypocrite? The definition: somebody who wears a mask. You know, they're one way in front of one set of people, and they're another way in front of another set of people. Paul desired that followers of Christ be consistent. You know, he had godly authority. He had church authority. He had apostolic authority. And so Paul could easily go around to different believers in these moments when he was serving with them, and really talk about them. Like, hey, man, you know, what's going on with you? You know, I'm noticing this. Let's talk about it. So anyway, here's one of those particular moments, if you will, in Galatians 2. And it's real quick. I'll just read a couple of verses. But when Cephas, that's Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. So he would dine with the Gentiles, but then when the Jews came, he would stand up and kind of hide himself so that he wouldn't be seen with Gentiles, because he feared the Jews, the strict Jews, really, for being judged, criticized, condemned. We do that in the church, don't we? Verse 13, and the rest of the Jews join him in hypocrisy. That is a lot of where Paul's issue, if you will, for lack of a better word, came. The rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas, a godly man, was carried away by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas, in the presence of all, if you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? You know, you think about that, and he confronted him not just to his face, he confronted him in front of people. And you know, that's not always the way that we want to go about things, but in this particular instance, he had to, because the Jews needed to know that not only were they in error from what they were doing, but Peter, you know, kind of their leader, if you will, he was also in error. And so he was setting the record straight. I mean, I think if this was a sermon today, it would be setting the record straight. That'd be the topic, or the title, I'm sorry. setting the record straight with Paul. But anyway, you know, it's interesting how we have those moments in our lives, you know, where we know that we need to confront an issue, we need to confront a person, we need to set the record straight, but often we don't. And why don't we? Well, because we're afraid of the consequences. Let's just be honest. We're afraid that we may be ridiculed back and maybe thrown back in our face. We are afraid that the person may out-argue us and argue their point above ours. We're afraid that we may be called out for something that we've done in the past that we know that maybe we have any knowledge. We're afraid of personalities. I mean, there's just a lot of things that we can say that causes us not to do it. But I think a lot of them hinge on fear. And Paul had his fears. He was not a perfect man by any means. But I believe that Paul was so convinced that Jesus's will and desire for the church be that it be unified, that it be set apart from legalistic, Pharisaical Judaism, that he was willing to face Peter, who was brash and probably had a much stronger personality than Paul. He knew that it was better that he face that and call out Peter's hypocrisy than allow Peter to continue to do it and lead more people astray. Again, Paul's heart was for the church, you know. And I've said that before, my heart is for the church. I want to definitely see people living for the Lord. I'm not so concerned with other things that they have going on, rather than them living for the Lord. You know, if you've got, you know, things in your life like, you know, baseball and softball and, you know, your grandkids are doing this or your kids are doing that, that's great, and I'm going to celebrate those with you. But my main concern for you is that you grow in the Lord. You know, I'd definitely enjoy a good cup of coffee with a friend. But, you know, I kind of take the mindset of the apostle here to look out for the health of God's church, to God's people. And so that's where my heart is today. And I just wanted to share this with you. And there's so much more I could say. Honestly, I could say so much on this, but I'm not going to, because I'll be keeping this podcast to at least an hour. And, you know, pastors can get long-winded. Preachers can be long-winded sometimes. But I just want you to take from this the idea that it really consumed Paul that Peter was leading so many people astray by his actions. And we should be careful with our influence. God gives some people influence. And we say, hey, that person's got influence. They must be a magnificent or magnetic person. Look how talented they are. But, you know, sometimes with influence comes responsibility. Not everybody can handle that level of responsibility. And so even with that influence, if they are failing to be responsible with it, the influence can be short-lived. And so we see that in the churches, you know, we see that in public arena with celebrities, with athletes. Some people cannot handle the spotlight, you know, they can't handle stardom, and they seem to sink their own ship before it really gets sailing. And so I just want to encourage you today to stay close to God. Know that he loves you. Continue to be grounded in his word. And as it is Monday, and it is a beautiful day, remember this. We live in a fallen world where we need to be on our guard as believers. And we need every moment to allow our minds and our hearts to be saturated with the goodness of God. Let God lead you. Let God guide you. Let him and his presence be with you today and every day. I hope that this day gets you started well, and I pray that God richly blesses you, as he already has richly blesses you. God bless you, and have a wonderful day.